Okay. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. So we're here to do a little bit of a review and then continue on in our new beginning study. And last time we began to look at the problem-solving tools, so I'm going to review a little bit of that, and then we'll move on from there. But let's start with a moment of silent prayer. Shall we pray? Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of being able to have another Bible study this week. And we do pray if Daniel is able to join us, that he'll be able to join us soon. We thank you for your word, your so precious word that helps us live a life in this lost and dying world. And we pray that today we will learn some things that help us to know how to navigate through things. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Thought I heard something over there. That was something else going on. All right, so let's see. Here's where we were last time. We started looking at some problem-solving tools. And we looked at the idea of, obviously, confession of sin. Pretty important. Mm-hmm. Pretty important one there, because when we break fellowship with God, we want to get restored to fellowship. Leading in the Spirit, really important, because there's times when there's not a Bible verse you can turn to mm-hmm. that tells you exactly what to do. So having the leading of the Spirit is a blessing, and being tuned into that is pretty important. The caveat there being that the Spirit is never going to lead you to do something that's in opposition to what the Word of God says. So if you think the Spirit is leading you to do something that that you know is not...
Commit murder.
Yeah, exactly. Then you know that's not something that the Spirit of God is doing. Maybe a Spirit is doing it, but not the Spirit of God. Faith rest, we spent some time talking about that. Very important, the idea of trusting God and trusting His promises, trusting His Word, trusting His character, mm-hmm. quite frankly. All of that's involved in and being able to rest, because there's so many things in this life that can, you know, bring us to a place where we get anxious and nervous, discouraged, all kinds of things. But that's not really where God wants us to be. I mean, we're supposed to be, we're like a child that He's caring for, and we trust Him, and we relax, and it doesn't mean you're not going to have times when you have to, you know, focus your energy and be, you know, really, you know, I mean, we've all had those, the days at work where we were so focused on things that we left out of here, and our brains were just exhausted. That's going to happen. That's different. That's just mental energy and you know, that kind of thing. But in terms of anxiety and fear and those kinds of things, the only fear that the Bible ever talks about that's a fear that's a positive one is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's the only one. Everything else is stuff that we shouldn't be involved in. And love, you know, love casts out fear. So if we're living in the love of Christ, then we won't have that. So that's the message of faith rest. And then sharing the joy of Christ, I think that's an important message, to know that we can have joy.
Mm-hmm.
And He had joy in the midst of some pretty difficult situations, not the least of which was the cross.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. so that's a significant one, right? That we can, and that should be encouraging to us, that we can share in His joy,
mm-hmm.
and He wants us to. And then focusing on Christ rather than problems, and that's a big one, right? We're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's hard to do sometimes, but that's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is the answer. And I think if we, you know, take the time to fix our eyes on Him, I mean, He loves us more than we ever will know. I mean, we fix our eyes on the One who loves us that much, and we go to Him in prayer. I mean, I think that's the most powerful thing you can do when you start to feel
anxious. And ask that you pray for us.
Well, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of believers are really shy when it comes to that. And I'm trying to help my congregation out there at Lost Pines to not be that way.
Yeah.
If something's going on, you don't have to even give me any details.
No.
You can just come to me and say, I'm
me.
Struggling with something right now, pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I
yeah.
need.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need. I know
mm-hmm.
to pray. And that's a blessing.
Yes.
Right? So I'm trying to encourage people to do that, but a lot of people are kind of, you know.
And not just necessarily praying for others for their problems or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's just praying for the congregation in general.
Oh, sure. Oh, I do that. I mean, actually, one of my favorite activities when I have trouble sleeping at night, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't go back to sleep kind of thing, is I pray my way through the congregation.
Yeah.
I literally... They're in my bed. I'm picturing people in the church, and I just start praying my way through the people at the church and just praying for them. And I don't even know. It may not even be anything particular, you know, that I know of to pray for, but it doesn't matter. I just lift them up before the throne of grace, and then God takes it from there.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next, this is new, love for God. Now, you might think, well, how is that a problem-solving tool? Well, for one thing, it takes your eyes off of yourself a little bit, right? So, this is an important one here in Deuteronomy 6:5. It's when Moses is Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law, and he's talking to the people of Israel, and he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart." And so loving God is extremely important because it helps us to, as part of loving God, we have an appreciation for who He is and all of that. But it also, again, it takes your mind off of all kinds of things that might be going on in your life. You know, you're focusing on the love you have for God. And just having a relationship with God is pretty amazing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I love the first verse as well as the second verse, but it says, "If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know." Because what you start to realize is the more you learn about the Bible, the less you really know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
it's
I mean?
True,
because
yeah.
you start to realize how much there is to know.
Yep.
So, as in verse 3 it says, "But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." So, the idea is to have that. It's talking about relationship
yeah.
here, right? You've
mm-hmm.
got that relationship with God, and that's a powerful thing. And if you know, we already know that God loves us, but when we have our side of it going, where we're loving Him and expressing that love, that's powerful. 1 John chapter 5 verses 1-3: "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him." Now this is an interesting one, because if you love God, you will also love the child which has been born of God, which is all the believers, right?
Mm-hmm.
"By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." So this is also, like I said, a benefit,
mm-hmm.
is when we love God, then what God asks us to do is no big deal, right? Okay, God
yeah.
says that we're supposed to do this and we're not supposed to do that, and we have all these things. Well, if it's done out of love, it's not a burden at all.
Right.
Because I love the Lord and I want to please the Lord. And so, again, I'm focused on Him. And so it's not a matter of, oh my gosh, it's so difficult for me to do X, Y, and Z. You know what? It's not. Not when it's done in the love of God. You know
right.
what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
not that difficult. But we make it difficult when we're trying to do it outside of that sphere. You know what I mean? When we're trying to force it to happen,
right.
or we're trying to... But if it's done as an expression of love, it's quite easy.
Mm-hmm.
And God really never asks us to do anything that He doesn't help us to do anyway, right?
Right.
So, it's not like He's leaving us out on our own. You know, this passage talked about loving the children of God, and
yes.
so the next one is love for one another, and boy, that cures a lot of ills.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Here Jesus is talking. And look at the quote that we have here. They asked Him the question. They said, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that He had answered them well, asked Him, what commandment is the foremost
mm-hmm.
of all? Right? It was a trick question, right?
Yeah.
They were trying to trip Him up. Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's a quotation of the Deuteronomy
mm-hmm.
passage we were looking at. "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So see, loving the Lord and then loving your neighbor, right? That's what Jesus emphasized. That's pretty
mm-hmm.
important, I think.
Yeah.
You know? But this cures a lot of ills, if you think about it, because how much trouble do we have in our lives because of fractured
relationships.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big deal, right? Now Jesus is giving a commandment, and here he raises the bar. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Yeah, that's raising the bar.
Yeah.
Because right after that, he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Well, guess what? The very next day, that was what he was getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is the night before the crucifixion.
Before.
So this is a big deal. So he's saying to them, look, I want you to love one another the way that I love you. And again, he actually laid down his life on the cross. We can lay down our lives in the sense of making other people's issues more important. You know, making other people more important than ourselves, right?
Yeah.
You put them first. I mean, that's kind of what he was trying to teach them in the process of that. 1 John 3:11 says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." I mean, Christ gave that message. We just saw it. We
mm-hmm.
should love one another. Later on in that same chapter, in verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So you can tell that's the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
We believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Right? So there we go. I mean, so believing in him, obviously that's important, because that's salvation.
Yes.
That you be saved, and then that you love one another, right? So we're supposed to be loving one another. And then later on, this one's a long passage here in chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And what this is talking about, this, by the way, here is the agape love. I don't know if you can
yes.
see it down there. It's
mm-hmm.
very small, agapao. That's the verb for loving. And this is why I say I believe from having taught this book that the only people that can really love this way, that can love as Christ loved, are those that are born again.
Mm-hmm.
I think believers can have, unbelievers can have unselfish love, but this kind of love that Jesus has, I think, is only in believers. I think
mm-hmm.
because God manifests
right.
in us. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. See, there you
yeah.
go. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, and that's if God loved us in this way, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. That's talking about the Father, because obviously people had seen the Son.
Mm-hmm.
No one had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And that's another thing, right? So we can have his love manifested in us, but is it being perfected?
Right.
Right? That's another issue. And that obviously takes time and diligence and
relationship.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And then finally, verse 17, by this love is perfected in us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. And then look at that. There's no fear in love. Remember, I talked
mm-hmm.
about that. If you're functioning in that kind of love, perfect love casts out fear. But this is perfected love. See, that's the thing. That's part of what I'm talking about. See, as the love is perfected in us and we begin to become more capable of loving the way Christ loves, now we get to a point where we get outside of the sphere of fear.
Right.
Right? We stop being in that place of fearing because we're becoming more Christ-like. That's really what it comes down
mm-hmm.
to. We're becoming more Christ-like. But anyway, pretty important passages there about loving one another, and that really does solve a lot of problems. And the interesting thing about this kind of love is you can love someone and not really like them very much.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Right there.
Yeah, you can love someone but yet not like them very much at all. And so that's what we're supposed to be able to do. Prayer. Yeah, we got
yeah.
a few passages
just
on
a
that.
Few, huh?
This is a big, huge
yeah.
problem-solving device.
Yeah.
I mean, prayer is big time. Psalm 17, verses 6 and 7, I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech. Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand. from those who rise up against them. So this is calling out for help, trying to take refuge in the Lord, but look, calling upon you. That it doesn't even say pray there,
no.
But that's what that is.
But that's what that is.
Calling
upon
the Lord.
Well, and I think too with prayer, and I know our priest talks about it a lot, that it's not just about asking for.
Oh no, should not be.
It's not your laundry list of requests.
No, it should not be.
It should be
Thanksgiving praise, everything.
Blessing.
Sure.
And if it's as well to help in these areas,
yeah.
Then so be it.
There you go.
But
you, I mean, I think it's a good idea to ask, but
yes.
You're right. That shouldn't be the only
but
thing you do.
Remember,
if that's the only time
yeah.
you ever go to God is when you
yes.
need something, then you have a pretty weak prayer life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's easy to fall into
it is.
That trap.
It is.
Of when things are going well,
you forget about God.
About the thanks, being
you forget about the praise,
the blessing,
and the thanksgiving. That's why I pointed out, you know, we ask for something 100 times.
Yes.
And then God answers our prayer, and we say thank you once.
Right. Or even worse.
Or we don't say thank you at all.
We ask for something so many times, and it's not the outcome we wanted.
Oh, I know.
Right.
Right.
And so we
but,
keep asking,
yeah.
not hearing that
he's
that
actually answered us.
There's an answer. It's
he's
just
actually
not,
answered us, but not the way
not
we wanted.
Not the way that
yeah.
we wanted.
That's a pretty
but
important
it,
one, too.
It's a tough one.
It is, but we should be thanking God for the answers
exactly.
that he gives us. Even if it's not the one we necessarily
and
wanted.
And even if it's not instantaneous, that's the other
oh, yeah,
thing.
That's the other one, yeah. It's the instant gratification
the
kind
instant
of a mentality. Yeah.
The lotto is going to hit me and solve all my financial problems.
Which it wouldn't, by
which
the way.
It wouldn't, but things of that nature,
yeah,
I think
I
a lot of people fall into that trap.
They do. They do. So it's a healthy prayer life if you give thanks and praise and make your requests, though. God
yeah.
wants us to make our requests, but he doesn't want that to be the only thing we mm-hmm. do. Here in Psalm 69, verses 13 through 17, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth. Now see, that at an acceptable time is talking about the answer. Can you see
mm-hmm.
that? My prayer is to you, O Lord, and then that should be connected to this. At an acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth. In other words, he's saying when it's right, when
yeah.
the time is right.
Well, and I think the key, is, again, with that acceptable time is that it's right in his time, not in yours.
Bingo.
And again,
yeah.
that's the hard part.
Yielding to his timing.
Yielding
yeah.
to his time and
yeah.
recognizing that
right.
it's...
Yeah.
Yes.
Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me. Answer me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Now, he says, answer me quickly. And so, what I love about some of these things in these Psalms is that the psalmists, many oftentimes, express their humanness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, at the beginning of this, he says, at an acceptable time, and then here he says, answer me quickly, I'm in distress,
yeah.
right? So, and God's okay with that, and us talking that way, but
mm-hmm.
acknowledging that he's going to answer in his timing is important. Psalm 86, 5 through 7, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. So, you know, that's not the only time
right.
going to call upon God, but in the day of my trouble I will. But now there's others that actually, I've known believers that actually don't call upon God in the day of trouble. They try to solve it themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't call upon God. So that's the inverse, but that's another mistake,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That when trouble comes, you don't call on God. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. And I think that's something we need to realize.
Mm-hmm.
The prayers of the saints are actually described in Revelation as a sweet-smelling savor. It's this idea of this beautiful aroma coming up to heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? That's
yeah.
the prayers of the saints. He wants that. It's his delight. And so I think we need to recognize that. We're not a bother. Later on in that same chapter, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous, right? So we hear that. It's a confidence we can have that he hears it. 2 Corinthians 13, 7 through 9. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for, that you be made complete. And I think that's the idea of the perfecting of the love, the maturing of the believer, and so on and so forth. So this is the couple of times the prayer is mentioned here, praying that they would do no wrong, and praying that they would be strong and be made complete. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's a couple of prayer items there. Colossians 1, 9 through 12, which I just taught not that long ago at the church. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, and it's talking about how their faithfulness, since we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I read this passage actually fairly often as we do the studies, just because this is such a wonderful prayer. Mm-hmm. The idea of the prayer that they would come, really, well, the prayer is that they would come to know God more and more and more, and lean upon God, right? Mm-hmm. Be strengthened with His power, and have the joy of the Lord, and to please Him. Yeah, mm-hmm. See that? I mean, that's, you know, you can take the person that you like the least in this world and pray that prayer for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's a good prayer for any situation. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, devote yourselves to prayer. Now that is raising it to another level.
Any level, yeah.
A devotion. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Praying with not a cumbersome,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. An attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Now that's an important one, see, because he's saying here, he's asking for prayers, and not just any prayer, but in this case, he's asking for a very specific prayer, right? Ask the Lord that the doors will be open for us to be able to speak the word of God, and that I will make it clear in the way I ought to speak. In other words, that I won't fumble the ball.
Right.
You know, so
that I'll have the right words too.
Yeah, yeah. So he's asking for specific prayer, but what's neat about this